Thanks.
Okay.
More people.
Now I call the committee on legislation to order with a committee, with a quorum present, the presence of Legislator Myers, Legislator Shimke, Legislator Williams A., and Legislator Harkham. Let me say from the beginning, we have an ambitious agenda which we must get done by 3. So it is entirely possible that at some point I'm going to cut off discussion because I think in most of these items, we know where we stand. And while I fully understand that there are a couple of controversial matters, they are nevertheless matters which have been before this committee and this board numerous times. And the proper place to discuss these will be on the floor of the Board of Legislators at the public hearings, which will be scheduled at our meeting at 3 o'clock. So, with that in mind, I'd like to begin at the beginning.
Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Committee on Community Services together to order, and we have a voting quorum present in the form of Legislator Myers, Legislator Shimke, Legislator Burton, and myself.
Thank you very much.
I
think it's probably appropriate to just begin at the beginning of the agenda. Yeah. You'll see that there are a total of 10 items. Each of them has an attached resolution for public hearing, and so there are really only 5 of them. The first matter of business is the matter of the acquisition and contract modifications, item number 4115.
Got it.
And Mr. Harkin, were you raising your hand for that?
No, he was eating M&M's.
Better known as lunch.
Wraps. I was kind of hoping that someone would have that right at their fingertips.
I do, it's right here.
It's right here.
Okay, good. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
ANC
was.
ANC
was. Yeah.
4115.
Yeah. Yeah. This doesn't have a number on these.
Well, it's up in the right hand. Very, very faint.
Thank you.
Okay,
you want
to see it. The matter of the Board of Acquisition in contract has been before us before.
Right.
We have made modifications in this, and the question is, who's in the position to speak on it? Mr. Harkin? Not really?
No, this was not my baby.
Okay.
I mean, I'll support it, but
yes,
it's not my baby.
I think I can speak just to the fact that all this really is swapping out the Commissioner for Public Works for the Budget Director.
Yes.
It goes a little bit beyond that.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. Gallagher, you've been involved in this.
Yes,
in terms of legal writing. If you could
the committee report
walk us through this.
It's pretty extensive. If you take a look at the legislation on the first page, it does. It swaps out the Budget Director for the Commissioner of Public Works.
No, the other way around.
Vice versa, sorry. But if you look at page 2, we had some discussions during some of the committee meetings about number 3 contracts, which are required by New York State law to be approved by the County Board of Legislators, such as IMAs, but not accepting contracts to be approved by the board under 3307 Public Authorities Law.
Where do you see that?
Page 2, all that underlines.
Oh, page 2 of the legislation itself.
Oh, I thought you were in the committee report.
Yes,
no, I went beyond it. Now I'm just going through the legislation.
Okay. Contracts. So this excess those?
Those are being added. All of the underlying language is new.
Right. And does this mean these are not part of this now, or they are part of this?
They are part of this, completely.
So why is the word excess?
Well, because there are contracts that are do not go before ANC as a matter of law.
Oh.
Okay. And then now, if you the next sentence down, the Board of AMC shall require, prior to the approval or amendment, all that language. That's to make sure that the board knows what's going on, specifically with the contract number, the date the Board of AMC awarded the original contract, and the amount, a brief description of the need for the change order. And that's really just to keep the board more informed about any changes to AMC contracts going forward. The next section, 16111, just with the exception of contracts which solely require approval. approval of the County Board of Legislators pursuant to 16101, which is the number three above. So that's more of a technical ad.
So if it's in real English?
All it does is, you know, it just refers back to 161.01 sub 3, contracts which are required by New York State law to be approved by the County Board of Legislators. Because initially it would read, all contracts entered into or on behalf of the County of Westchester shall be executed in accordance with one of the following methods. Excludes 3.
Okay.
Which is IMAs and other contracts.
And if they're just with the County Board of Legislators, then they stay just with the County Board of Legislators.
Well, if they're contracts that would normally just be able to be passed by the County Board of Legislators, that's accurate. Now, because if you turn to page 4, you'll see some additional language underlined.
Paragraph D2.
Mm-hmm. Yes. This is because if it's not going through A and C, we need to know who is going to be in charge of the contract that's passed by the board.
Okay.
Going on to page 5, section 161.401. It's just so we can have a schedule of all the A and C meetings at the beginning of the year, so there's no question as to when they take place. And as you can see, any change to the schedule other than a change due to extreme weather conditions or emergency situations must be obtained at least 70, other than that, must be obtained at least 72 hours prior to such meeting. And that's just to make sure that A and C progresses in the usual course. Okay, this is there are items that which haven't been placed, or the board's position has, they haven't been placed on the agenda. And what this does is, if they are not put on the agenda within 90 days, which would be March 31st of a calendar year, the chairman of the county board may place an ANC resolution for the procurement of a service item on the agenda at any time during that budget year, consistent with requirements of the Westchester County procurement policy. And that's just to make sure that anything the board wants to add to ANC eventually gets on the calendar if it doesn't get on for some reason.
That was section 4.
Section 4.
Okay.
Okay, everybody following me?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've looked at this myself.
Page 6, section 5.
5, yes. This deals with the section, page 6, section 5, sub 3. And 4. Pretty straightforward. Before, it's allowed, permitted the declaration of an emergency. Now it's in writing. And then 5, on sub 5, it's just the definition of emergency. And then finally, 8, I think we're up on page 8, section 233.02. It deals with a transparency issue that I think has been newsworthy as of late. It's for transparency.
Is there a reason why on page 7 there's a large blank space? Just somebody put in a page break there for some reason?
That's really it.
Okay. So
well, because if you look section, yes, yes.
Well, there shouldn't be a page break.
Well,
there, so.
It's a completely different section of law. We're jumping from 161. To an entirely separate section of 233.02. So it doesn't, I can fix that, but that's why it's, yeah. All the other sections are, we have 161, 167, yeah. But we can fix that. All right.
I think that should be, I think
just to know, John Doan and I spent a significant amount of time on this. I mean, if you look at the committee report, heavily cited, sets forth the basis for everything and the reason why this local law is subject to permissive as opposed to a mandatory referendum and the reasons therefore. Your committee has been very familiar with this legislation, having considered it maybe a dozen times since
yes,
I've been
yes.
here, which is no longer than the last 11 months.
Okay. Comments by members of the committee?
What are you looking for from us other than comments?
We're going to vote on it. So it can
for
go
public
out
hearing?
For public hearing.
Yeah. Or for all purposes.
Yes.
Mr. Hart.
I was just going to comment on that, Mr. Chair, just to follow up on what you had said at the beginning. This is a very ambitious agenda today, mm-hmm. but all of these things have been discussed extensively in this committee and other committees and publicly. Given the compressed calendar to the end of the year that we now face ourselves in, the thought was to get these out onto the floor for public hearing. So people do not necessarily have to commit their support one way or the other today. They can vote these out without prejudice, any of these items. But we felt it was important to get them out so we could hear from the public on these. And with a compressed calendar, this was the time we had to do it. To this specific piece of legislation, we alluded to many of these issues in the Budget Committee meeting a little while ago. Just the continued frustration with contracts that were lawfully put in the budget by this body that were not acted upon. Other emergency contracts that were acted on by ANC. There's a whole host of issues. But, the premise of this is that the Board of Acquisition and Contracts should not be a super legislature trumping the legislative authority of the legislature. And that's what we have found has happened. As we discuss ad nauseum, there is a process of voting for things, of vetoes, and perhaps overrides. That is the process. And whoever wins, wins. Who loses, loses. But those are the rules that the law sets out for us. And the Board of Acquisition and Contract was meant to be an administrative arm to facilitate those contracts, not to be a super legislature to trump the will of the legislature. So I'm glad we're moving on this, Mr. Chair, and thank you for bringing it.
Any other members? I ask again any other members, because I don't want to ride roughshod over people, right. But at the same time, we need to move along.
So moved.
Second.
Ms. Fire moves. Mr. Harkin seconds. Any further discussion on this matter?
Yes.
Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
That's in community services,
no.
too?
No, I'm sorry.
You're second, third, and fourth. Yes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Any without prejudice? All right. The matters 1 and 2 are now passed. All right. At this point, it is appropriate that we have a discussion with the Committee on Community Services, led by Chairwoman Williams. And the first matter before the two committees is the matter of the membership of the Human Rights Commission. Ms. Williams, you want to take charge of this?
Yes, certainly. If you all look at the committee report, you can see that we're recommending that there be a change in the assignment or proposal of members for the 15-member Human Rights Commission, in that currently the county executive appoints all members. We are asking, or the change includes three members being appointed by... Oh, first of all, let me say that each year the membership is staggered, so that each year five members are appointed or reappointed. This current legislation calls for three members being appointed by the chairman of the Board of Legislators, two members being appointed by the majority leader, and an additional two members being appointed by the minority leader. And that would comprise seven, with eight members being appointed by the county executive.
Simple, clear, direct?
Yes, I think so. One of the reasons for that, of course, is that we here in the Board of Legislators have all represent various districts, and in that way we can assure that there is a broader representation on the Human Rights Commission than might be otherwise. Any comments?
And it would still be 555?
Yes.
So that we're...
However, currently, I believe that, as far as I know, that there are a number of members who have appointments have lagged, and therefore we don't have a full complement of people.
Got it.
At the end of the year, there'll be two active members.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. represents a problem, obviously.
Yeah, certainly hard to make quorum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Comments by members of either committee.
Right, this
is getting released. I ask again, any comments by members of any of the
Well,
committees?
Comments, yeah. This makes a lot more sense and keeps it going. My opinion.
Anyone else? All right, hearing none then. I'll call for a vote. All those in favor for both committees for all purposes.
So moved.
That's a good idea.
Second.
Moved by Ms. Myers, second by Ms. Shimsky. All right, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries. Items 3 and 4 are herewith disposed of. We're on.
And this public hearing will be set.
They'll all be set for the next regularly scheduled board meeting, which is the 29th of November. Mm-hmm.
Which is a Tuesday.
Which is a Tuesday, not a Monday.
So weird. Okay.
At 7:30, I think we set that traditionally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Items 5 and 6 having to do with cyberbullying. Again, Madam Chair.
Okay. This issue is an issue that we've dealt with, again, oftentimes over the years in both legislation and community services, which deals with basically the legislation has been amended so that it really basically provides an educational process for cyberbullying. And
a hotline, and
a cyberbullying hotline, exactly. As I said, we've discussed it a number of times in both committees.
Right. Who's manning the, or personing the hotline?
And Human Rights.
Human Rights Commission.
Okay. Any other questions having to do with this matter? This is a short piece. Again, I ask anyone else have any other comments to make on this? I'll accept a motion.
So moved for ledge.
So moved for community services.
Well, we need a second for legislation.
I'll second.
Second by Ms. Williams and for community
for
services.
Community services. So
I'll
moved.
Second. Any discussion on the motion itself? Hearing none, then I'll call for a vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item number 7 on source of income. Second. Well, this is joint with housing plan. Oh, I'm sorry, that's right, we're done with
you're done with
lucky us.
Yes, you have housing and legislation.
All right, do you want to adjourn your committee?
Oh. At this point, I'll adjourn, entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. All right. I now hereby call the Committee on Housing, Planning, and Operations to order. We have the presence of a voting quorum in the presence of Legislator Harkham, Legislator Williams, Legislator
Myers.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
And myself, that makes 4. We are due to have Legislator Rogowski here who wishes to be heard on this matter. Somebody going to get him? We need to get to Legislator Rogowski before we can conclude this discussion. She's here, but Legislator Rogowski wished to be heard on this matter as well, and I don't want to cut him out by the fact that we're moving way too fast for him.
He'll slow us down. Not to worry.
Oops,
all right. Let's take a look at this legislation then. It's item number 4787.
If I can comment, make life a little bit easier. This is similar to what law was introduced and considered by this board in 2009, and because the legislative session had expired, it was introduced again in 2010 and passed by this board and subsequently vetoed by County Executive Rob Astorino. The legislation is 99.9% the same. That was passed by this board unanimously, I might add, back in 2010, with the exception of was passed by the board. If you look at the law at subsection 5, source of income shall mean.
Wait, they're not. Five, yeah, source of income shall mean. Okay.
on the second page of the local law in the middle, section, item V, section 3. Okay, go ahead, Matt.
Language in bold, pensions and or child or spousal support is the only change from the law that was passed.
Oh, we didn't have that in there before?
You did not.
Wow.
Now that, frankly, had been one of the concessions to a legislator whose name will not pass my lips for the moment. And it didn't make any difference. He didn't support it. Okay, I note the presence of legislator Rogowski, who has a particular firm interest in this matter. Marty, we've just begun. Matt has gone through the legislation, and to catch you up on this, on the second page of the legislation, paragraph lettered V, the only addition to the law that was passed by this board in 2010 is to add pensions and child or spousal support to the included areas that will be considered to be a discriminatory act. Having heard this, I ask members for comments. And we can begin with Mr. Rogowski.
Mr. Chairman, as you and I discussed earlier today, I thought there may have been an additional change to make this a more streamlined approach.
Yes, I misspoke, Mr. Rogowski. We did not go with the governor's version. We are back to the original that was passed 10-4 back in the day.
I heard the howls of Mr. Abernathy's office coming through the wall.
Mr. Rogowski, I said that I would not speak the name, but others may.
Okay, so that is, yes. is what we've added is pensions.
Yes, my apologies for misstating that.
Okay. Well, notwithstanding that, Mr. Chairman, I guess if I have the floor now, it's I had issues with this bill last time because from a macro point of view, while I certainly support Section 8, I think in theory it's a great program, it's a federal program. And one of my main reasons for not supporting this last time was the fact that as much as we rail against state and federal mandates, be it Medicaid or needs for special children, whatever, we have big problems, as I have big problems, I think many of my colleagues do, with that type of mandate. I had a situation in the bagel shop just this morning, that a fellow's telling me the Section 8 inspectors that came up, he volunteered, I didn't tell him anything, in his Section 8, you know, there's a little crack in the wall, the paint's not even flaking something, and he's got to repaint the whole apartment. And I said, well, that's it, because I'm sure in other towns it may not be the same, because different inspectors in different towns, at least that's a testimony we had. We don't even have control of the employees now, at least we were able maybe to talk to our Section 8 employees and find out what's going on. It's now been, I guess, White Plains, someone else is handling it. So from the very large picture, if it was a county program, and we could sit around a committee report room and bring the people in and say, how are you running the Section 8 program? How consistent is it? And how fair is it? And go through all that, and how can we make it better and work with the landlords? Since we can't do that, just from that level, as a matter of principle, I have hard problems. And then once you get into the practical aspects and these problems come out and months going without payment, and again, it's implemented differently and how much they can pay and when, have to go back and wait for the inspection, the re-inspection, and is the rent paid in the meantime? The rent is held up. But it's voluntary. A lot of landlords take it. I'm delighted they take it, you know, because it's a good program. It helps a lot of people. So, but for us to step in and mandate it, that just, as a matter of really principle, without having controls over it, I have real, real problems supporting it. And, in fact, I won't be supporting it.
Thank you, Mr. Grasky. Mr. Hart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to thank everybody for being here. A lot of the familiar faces from this discussion. I'm not here to really debate the bill. I think my feelings on this are pretty solid on the record. And you know, where the goal is to move it out for public hearing. I just don't want to amend what my good friend Legislator Rogowski said. It's not just Section 8. It's things like veterans vouchers, disability vouchers, those kind of things as well.
And we've
had a very, very, very long, over a year-long debate on this issue. And we will have another year-long floor debate on this issue, I'm sure, and also look forward to hearing what the advocates on both sides have to say again at the public hearing. You know, today is certainly just a procedural step, so I would certainly move this, Mr. Chair, and
I'll second it.
All right, let me ask if you withhold that until we've finished, rather than have a open it up again after we've made
sure.
the motion.
Absolutely.
I don't want to have debate on the motion.
However,
I want to have debate on the substance.
Your pleasure, Mr. Chair.
I think it's appropriate.
Your pleasure.
So you've concluded?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else at the table?
Mr. Chairman, can I invoke the Rogowski rule just because it's a fair comment Mr. Harkin made, and he mentioned my name. But
did he mention your name?
Yes, he did.
That is the Rogowski rule.
I know that.
Now we mentioned his name twice, so he gets to speak twice.
I thought a compliment.
It's a name that shall not pass the lips.
I think that a compliment counted as a cause for invoking the Rogowski.
Well, just for the record, Mr. Harkin made a fair point. Just for the record, as we discussed last year when we went through or 2 years, whatever we did this bill, many states, many municipalities have a source of income law that does not cover Section 8. That's a fair point. So, you're right. I talk about Section 8 as, attached to our bill, but there are source of income laws that do, and specifically carve it out or don't mention it. And because there are other pension, there may be other good sources of income that we would want to provide this legislative protection so there's not discrimination on other things. So, I'm open to address those other sources. My focus of my mandate, my concern is on the Section 8. So with this board to maybe, as an alternative, look to prevent discrimination with other forms of sources of income, then it's a whole different discussion I might be open to. It's the mandate of the Section 8 that really gives me a lot of trouble. So
if I may comment on that, one of the matters that's before this county in the settlement discussions tomorrow, the Housing Planning and Operations Committee will be discussing, I don't know that we're going to go into detail on it, but discussing the monitor's response to the submission that was made. And there are two matters that are always keep coming up, source of income and zoning. We know, and it's not even an elephant in the room anymore, it's just out there, that source of income constitutes a flashpoint. With HUD, with the monitor, with a lot of us that have been frustrated that in fact something as simple and frankly anti-discriminatory as you can get has failed to pass muster in this county. Okay, as Legislator Harkin pointed out, the rules are the rules. You win, you lose, and then you move on, and that's what it's going to be. But it seems to me so thoroughly necessary to include Section 8 in this, and that's why it's very clear to me that this is, while this may be a flashpoint, and it's been a flashpoint in my district, and I'm sure on most of your districts, but it's there, and we will be moving forward accordingly with this law to public hearing, with that known to be present. So I just...
Point of legal interpretation, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Chairman. What if we did pass a source of income law that did not have Section 8 in it? What's HUD's view on that? Because it's not meant, and that's why I agreed with the county executive in his comments back to the monitor. The monitor's in HUD saying, pass source of income. Well, if source of income didn't include Section 8, would we be okay with HUD?
I think that would be a really interesting question the next time I run to Mr. Johnson. I'll ask it.
And I would opine that they would probably not look favorably upon it because Section 8 is no longer called Section 8. It's called the Housing Mobility
But still, the settlement talks about source of income, and that's what's wrong with HUD's decision,
and
Marcher's decision.
And this whole lawsuit is about the absence of housing mobility.
Mr. Harkin, my point is that's why the Marcher's decision was wrong, in my opinion, because the stipulation talks about source of income law, and right away we could be in a position, we could pass a source of income law, but if it's not their source of income law, HUD's, it's still no good. That's why they're wrong.
True.
That's why the Marcher's wrong.
We are where we are. To quote our chair, they're winners and they're losers in the rules. Yeah, in this case, we lost.
Let me also put on the record, with folks sitting here, that the monitor can be removed by HUD but cannot be removed by the county. So I would suggest there's a conflict of interest in his decisions because if he doesn't rule the way HUD wants him to rule, they could take away his job that's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we cannot.
There's another reason I voted against the stipulation, because that was a clear inequity in how that whole process goes. They can remove the monitor if they don't like him. We can't. It's part of what we're stuck with. It is what it is. But that's one of the reasons I voted against the whole goddamn thing. Excuse my language.
That's all right. There were no five-letter words.
I'm not voting for this anyway. Thank you.
Well, Monty, we got one more item here, so if you can stick, I'd
appreciate it. Well, I missed the other item. What's the other item?
The other item has to do with an amendment on appointments to various boards and committees, commissions.
I'll support that.
Okay, so you give Judy your proxy and you may leave. Slap her five and then be done. Okay.
I will support that.
Anyone else? Mr. Nunzia, I keep looking at you because I know that you've represented a point of view down through the years. I was going to say decades, but that's probably not true. From one decade to the next, on the other hand, though, you have been rather vocal on this, and I'd like to give you an opportunity on the floor to make any comments that you wish to make.
Not to take up the time of the commission. This is something which, I think Marty having having a deep knowledge of the real estate field and the perspective of the landlord, there's a bitter irony to all this that you have tied it into the monitor and the stipulation of agreement, and the irony is that Westchester, the history of Westchester County, having been with the planning department for many years, mm-hmm. The history of Westchester County has been one of an aggressive promotion and placing of now. Mr. Hart, what'd you call it? The Housing Mobility Voucher Program, now it's called? Was always, for years and years, an aggressive promoter of Section 8. And over half of our landlord members, our 400 landlord members, are participants in the program. And, that and other things that the county has done over the years to affirmatively promote affordable housing. And the bitter irony to all this is that now, we're at the wrong end of a lawsuit that has been decided on, and now everything now, whereas once it was voluntary, is now mandatory with a club, so we appreciate once again the opportunity to have this go to a public hearing, and you'll be hearing no doubt from many owners and managing agents and others in the industry. But it's kind of I find it very sad knowing the history of this county, as we all do, and knowing all that the county has done, I say has done, not had done, has done for housing, and have the county being made somehow an example of and being a whipping boy or county for the federal government, I think is thoroughly undeserved, and we're all kind of now embroiled in a very sad and unnecessary exercise, I think. That's what I mean.
Thank you, Mr. Nunzia. Any other comments? A motion is now in order.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Harkham.
Second.
Second by Ms. Myers. On discussion of the motion, do I have any voices? If not, may I then have a call for a vote? All
yeah,
those in favor?
I can't move for both committees, though. I can only move for the
motion. I can.
I'll second.
We'll move to take on for housing then.
So I'll move for. You, oh wait, I thought it was community service.
No, it's legislation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Housing,
I can't
move for both. You move for both.
I can second.
Ms. Myers seconded.
I apologize.
For both. Okay, that's all right. Things moved a little bit fast here.
I'm tired. It's only Monday.
It's only, and the day's only started. I'll call for a vote. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. I think we'll record Marty. Mr. Rogowski's statement, even though he's not physically present at this point, as stating that he would be voting in the negative.
If that's satisfactory with everyone.
I think that's safe.
Thank you very much. All right. We have one more to go. Local law changing the way in which appointments are done. Mr. Crane, you're up. And did you have a revision on this? It's number 4789.
Everyone should have
which
it.
Should have one, but it didn't have a number written on it.
Is that is
it's the one
this
with
one?
The memo on the cover.
This is the new revised.
Okay, the one with the memo on the cover. Uh-huh. Which I don't seem to have, but
there may be on the label.
Oh, there it is. Yes, sorry.
Yeah, you have it.
Mm-hmm. Here we are. It's this one. Everybody got that? Okay. Mr. Crane, was the amendment that we discussed, has that been put into this?
It has. So the legislation should include language that includes the word set fees.
Okay.
And it discusses, you know, including standards, rates, fees.
All right. If you look at the legislation, the local law intro number blank dash 2011, section on the first page, 110.21, paragraph number 2, which is underlined, what we had sent out to you last week did not include this change, but now includes the change on line 2.
It's in section 2, right, after grant licenses.
After grant licenses, we have inserted the words set fees.
Oh, okay.
And the
such as a parks board?
Right.
Got it.
The committee report also includes a sentence that, you know, reflects that.
Thank you, Mr. Crane. All right. This is new to many of us, and let's have a discussion on that. If you look at the memorandum of legislation, I've never been really enthusiastic about doing choral readings here, but why don't we all take a look at that for a minute or two of silence, and then let's discuss it.
So,
when we're done,
this is existing law, in other words, section 110.21.
Yes.
But this is calling for number 2.
Yes.
To be inserted.
Yes. Right.
We understand the intent of this. Let me tell you what my take on the intent is and see if I'm correct on this. We have found down through the years that, and this is not limited to the current administration, I've been here just long enough to know that the prior administration had, if not an equal, at least a tendency to push people through simply by the mere act of appointment and their swearing the appropriate oath. That this board may have wanted to have some serious discussion before they took office. But because the law as it currently stands permits them to take office, number one, and number two, vote on matters.
Even before they've been approved by?
Well, the Board of Legislators as it stands now has no, it's not like the Congress, the Senate, the U.S. Senate, where it's an advise and consent, the President proposes, the Senate consents. We don't. When the executive appoints and the person signs the oath, said person goes on the body in question and may vote immediately. Should we vote no in the committee, it's treated as a that's nice but it's not relevant point. And the frustration level that many of us have felt in this situation is such that it drives this law. It is not the only way we can, as a body, as a board of legislators, can take action to take someone out is to pass on the floor a resolution rejecting that person. Now, that is both hurtful, it seems to me, of the individual in question, who may in many other respects be a person of good character and all the rest of it, but who is just not right for a particular body in the view of this Board of Legislators. Or alternatively, could be simply a person who has substantive disagreements with this body, and we've seen a couple of them who've come by in more recent times, where we would not of our own free will put them on. So that's what this is about, is to give us the ability, in certain limited circumstances, setting fines and all the rest of it, setting policy, but not as advisory groups, to hold up and ultimately vote down any individuals. Mr. Maizano, welcome to the meeting.
I didn't know the meeting was here.
I was in the other room. It was empty. Please take a chair. We'd love to have you. We are on the discussion of items 9 and 10, the matter of appointments to certain county boards. If you, while I'm gasbagging on, if you could give it a quick read, we'd appreciate it. This matter, I think, deserves not only very serious consideration, but I frankly hope that it's been something that I've wanted to recommend to the Charter Review Commission for a more aggressive stance. But it's the opportunity to do it this way may, in fact, eliminate the necessity for making a charter change at this point. But we'll see, because the Charter Revision Commission, I think, is going to have a life that's going to extend probably through the end of 2012, simply because it's been so difficult to get that done. I see Mr. Wishney, who's the chair of the Charter Revision Commission, is here, and one of our better angels, frankly, to have him around, and we'll see how that's all going to work out. But I therefore accept any comments that any members of either committee wish to make on this matter. I've had my say. There's no way we're going to get through with this without somebody saying something, please. Otherwise, I'll be forced to say something else. Mr. Harper.
Well, I would just repeat for the benefit of my colleague, the minority leader who got here, what I said earlier, that some people may be whopping some of these items out. You know, the purpose is in the shortened calendar to get things out for public hearing. And we'll have good debate as we go forward. But some people may be moving these out without prejudice. I for one will be supporting this particular matter. I just wanted to reiterate that point.
Thank you, Mr. Harper. Ms. Marsh.
Yes, I would like to say that I too will be supportive of this, largely because I think it increases the transparency and increases the chance that everybody knows what's going on.
Albert, do you have something you want to say?
No, just a quick question that I'm reading here, and I'm assuming, but I want to clarify, that this would not apply to, as it says here, does not apply to boards and commissions, they're defined by New York State. Well, so ETPA, rent control, that's
correct.
Right.
I just wanted to.
Yeah, if state law controls.
If you wanted me to say something, I just wanted to ask a question.
Well, good. That's a good point. Thank you. Mr. Rosano, I'm sorry we're asking you to speed read this, but.
I'm not voting for any of this stuff. And I object to this entire process, to be very blunt with all of you. Rushing all this important legislation through in one legislation meeting where all the members couldn't be here in the middle of the budget process in a crazed moment in the board is outrageous. Some of this stuff, maybe not this particular item, several of them needed a lot more review by legislators. I mean, I see one of them on, which was the cyberbullying. And, you know, I remember Legislator Nona had done all this research and said he was going to come. We had several good committee meetings way back in the summer. Legislator Nona was going to come back with all this research he was going to have done. He's not even here today. I don't even know the status of what he was doing. The legislative committee was not prepared to vote for it that day. Legislators were going to do more research, in particular John Nona, pointedly told me he had problems with the law on legal and constitutional grounds, and to come back with all this evidence, he didn't even have the opportunity to do it. We never called another meeting to allow the chairman of this committee to come back with his evidence. So that is one that I couldn't possibly vote for today. Excuse me?
He is the chair of his own committee.
That's what I'm saying. And we never called another meeting on cyberbullying.
He didn't
because he had other items on this agenda, and he was in Well, everyone is in the middle of elections, and John was putting this off to after Election Day, cyberbullying. But my point is, legislative Nona was the chair, and purposely didn't recall that because he was conducting research and it thought the cyberbullying had legal problems. So there's one, I don't know how anybody's voting for today. Obviously, the due diligence by this board has not been done, and this committee has not been done. I could say that for many of these. I'm not going to be a broken record here. But I'm voting against all of these items today in protest because this is a rush job. There's no due diligence being done on many of these laws. This is not what our board is about. We're a deliberative body. I understand, as Peter said, this is, you know, we're late on the agenda, the gear's ending. I understand all that. But, you know, this is a rush through of all this legislation to get it on the floor, to force a vote, when the committee hasn't finished its homework on many of these items. So I'm not going to vote for any of these today. That's my position.
Fair point. Thank you, Mr. Fasano. Anyone else? May I have a motion on the appointments matter?
Oh, so moved.
Second. By Ms. Myers, second by Ms. Williams, for both committees.
Yes.
Thank you. Any comments on the motion? Hearing none, I'll ask for vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
Mr. Fasano reported in the negative. I think we should, in fairness, indicate that Mr. Rogowski had indicated that he would be supporting this matter, but he's not here. I would ask that the minutes reflect my remarks to that effect. That brings us to the end of the agenda.
Minutes?
I appreciate that everyone has put their time in. If we could have a review of the minutes, and I'll accept the motion.
This is the thing. I can be... There was an issue, I think, with an issue with October 24th, I think. At 142.
Should you have found what you were looking for?
Uh huh.
Good.
I said there's an issue with Monday, October 24th, only in that there were so many absent. I don't know how we do that.
I think it's appropriate to consider that not a voting meeting, but an informational meeting, and it would not be inappropriate to pass those minutes without understanding. And I think a correction should be made on those minutes to reflect that.
Okay. Well, I think you're the only one present who was present.
What a good boy am I. Which meeting was that?
October 24th at 1:30.
Let's see. Rogowski is not here, but was present. I was here, and
yeah,
no, was here. All right, then let's delay that. We'll take the October 24th off the agenda, and is that satisfactory? Okay. All the others. Are we good? Ms. Myers.
I can do all except Friday, November 18th.
Okay. A supplemental motion for Friday, November.
18th. I'll move that.
Moved by Ms. Williams, seconded by...
I'll second.
Seconded by Ms. Shimsky, all in favor. Now, for all of the matters, we've taken the 24th off for all the others.
Aye.
All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries. The 24th, that was not a business meeting, it was an informational meeting. We should so note that.
It was the 1:30 meeting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, 301.
It's on the train.
Thank you very much.
301 we were able to do.
We made it back.
Yeah.
Right. All right. We have two committees that are currently in session. Housing Planning Operations and Legislation. May I have a motion for one or both committees to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Harkin for both committees. Seconded by Ms. Myers for both committees. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. We are adjourned. Thank you very much. Mr. Annunziata.
May I say that notwithstanding...